If you could turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be reading verses 38 through to verse 42. A familiar text to many of us in the life of Martha and Mary. And during this message, I will most definitely say the name of Martha when I meant to say Mary, or say Mary when I meant to say Martha. I'm sure I'll do it, but I'm sure you'll forgive me for that. But we're going to look at the lives here of Martha and Mary. I've given this message before, but added quite a bit to it last night that I hope will be a blessing to you. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. The Bible reads, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's commit the service to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you have given it to us in perfect revelation. We pray that we would learn from it this morning. I pray that you'd be with me as I deliver the word. I pray that man's wisdoms would not come into it, Lord, that the Spirit of God would speak through me and glorify the Saviour this day, that we may learn from the lives of these people in the text that we just read. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Now, we live in a very fast-paced society, and technology is on the increase. And the purpose of technology, apparently, is to improve a better way of life, apparently. It is apparently given to make our lives much quicker and much easier. But in reality, the technology that we see of today, we have got the news at our fingertips that can come right through to different ways of streaming, and it's actually creating a lot of tension, a lot of agitation in the lives of people. Technology and all these things are actually making people busier, giving people more to do. They're able to do it in a quicker way, sure. But in reality, it's actually creating more of a burden to society. We would say that we can thank God for things like live streaming, where we can live stream messages for people that are sick at home. We thank God for that. But technology has been used in such a way to make the world do more, and it's created absolute burden to many lives in the world today. And it's produced a lot of sin as well, we can say as well. But I think about people, and when we read about the biographies of the older missionaries, and there's one actually movie that I really enjoy watching. It's a movie called Sheffy, and I look at his life, and every time I watch it, I can't tell you how many times I've watched it, but I always think about the wonderful life that he would have lived. Now, I know that there were trials and troubles that he went through, but riding on horseback through the country, setting there as a horseback preacher, he was an itinerary preacher as he went around to different places in America to preach God's word. And I think, wow, what a wonderful time that would have been to live in. Not without his trials, of course. But this was a man who was busy for the Lord, but he had a peace and rest in his heart. But he was a man who would always pray. He was known for his prayer life, busy on his knees, interceding for the lives of lost people. But he was no doubt a man who was busy in the study of the scriptures as well, sitting at the Saviour's feet. I think of people like Andrew Murray, who, when you look at how many books and his devotion life that he has written, you think, well, is that all he ever did? Did he just write books? But then you read about his life, and he was a man who pastored thousands of people, led many to the Lord. He was a man who was busy for the Lord, but still maintained a rest of heart. People like Matthew Henry, who wrote I've got a 6-volume commentary of him. I can't recommend his interpretation of the scriptures in a lot of areas, but this man wrote this 6-volume commentary, I believe, just for devotion life for his family. And it was published into a commentary. Men who were very busy for the Lord, but had a rest of heart. I think that that is a wonderful opportunity that we can have as Christians, to have rest of heart but be busy for the Lord at the same time. Now, Satan has done his very best to keep Christians as busy as possible, to keep them in an agitated and a state where their hearts are not at rest. He has really troubled the day of Sunday, where people should be at church hearing God's word proclaimed and finding the words of God rich to their hearts. But instead, many Christians today, sadly, it's the day where they go to work. And they do not consider the Lord's day, and they go to work instead to earn just a little bit more money. There's no rest in that. Sunday is a day when Australia works. Sunday is a day when, unfortunately, Australia plays sport. Look what they're missing out on. They're going to watch a football game rather than come to hear the words of God. As one man said, they worship the boar, not Baal anymore. The God of Baal? No, but they worship the God of the bull. It's very sad on a Sunday. It's one of the reasons why when I was pursuing to become a professional golfer, it was one of the things that the last and final competition day is actually on a Sunday. I thought that'd be no good to me. I'd be coming first and I wouldn't be able to play on Sunday. I wouldn't be able to get the money. But no, probably perhaps it was maybe a bit of laziness as well that I didn't want to pursue it. But it was a day of Sunday where people would play the final competition day for golf. And this is also, Sunday is a day when people watch TV. They sit at home doing nothing. And they think they're resting, but really they're burdened with the filth of television. And unfortunately, too many Christians have followed these ways today. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3-4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I get that Paul was talking to Timothy, who was called to a certain ministry, but we as Christians are considered soldiers of Christ. We are in a warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. But Christians are not alert today to what's actually happening around them. We have a war that is taking place in Russia and Ukraine. And if you ask any of the people in Ukraine, they are on alert. They are on high alert because they are expecting that there could be an invasion at any moment. There could be a missile coming through their place at any moment and their lives could be taken from them. And they're on high alert because they are in the midst of war. But Christians today are in war and they have no idea and they don't even care. But Paul says to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs or the occupations of this life." Now, I understand we have to work, we have to provide, but people have been overcome by their finances. They want to have a bigger house. They want to have a better car. They want to have a better holiday. More, more, more. There is never a contentment there. They want bigger and better, but unfortunately what they don't realise is that the bigger and better it gets for them, they think, the more problems they actually have. We come into our text today. And in the beginning of chapter 10, we have the Lord Jesus Christ sending forth his men to serve him. And that's a very important part of our life, his service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is worthy of our service. He is worthy of our worship. We should take great joy in serving the Lord in such a way. When we come to church here today, we are so thankful that we have a building here where we can hear the word of God proclaimed. We're so thankful that we have a piano that can be played or an organ. We are so thankful for those that provide us with the food that we have in the morning and in the evening. I mean, come to think about it, it would be a terrible thing if the preacher didn't show up, but imagine the person who puts out the mini pies didn't show up. It'd be a tragedy. Not quite. But we are thankful because when we come to church, there is an absolute opportunity to worship the Lord, and he is worthy of that worship, and we should take great delight. So our service is presented in chapter 10, the early stages. And as the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in chapter 11, he begins to talk about our supplication and shows us that we need to have a prayer life. But right in between it, the Lord Jesus Christ presents us with a text, a life story of the life of Martha and Mary, where we have a wonderful picture of the importance of our sitting. So we serve Yes, we have our supplication, but we must not forget that there is an important aspect to the Christian life, and that is to sit at the Saviour's feet. The title of this message is actually The Importance of Sitting at His Feet. I want you to notice, firstly, in our text, the arrival of the Master. That's our first point today, the arrival of the Master. Verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." So the Lord Jesus Christ is arriving into this certain village. And I want you to notice under this first point, the region of his arrival. We notice from other scriptures as we survey the Bible that the town of Bethany was, this certain village was the town of Bethany. This is a town that when you examine, it was there where a lot of people's names were mentioned, like Martha and Mary, but also people like Simon the leper. These are places that the Lord Jesus Christ came into their home. Now, we gather from the scriptures that this town of Bethany was close to the Mount of Olives, which is also very, very important when it comes to Bible prophecy. We're learning about Bible prophecy, and Bethany was very close, just right around the corner from where the Mount of Olives were. It's very significant in the scriptures, the Mount of Olives, because this is actually where the Lord Jesus Christ departed and ascended into heaven. And it's also going to be a very important part of prophetic scriptures, because that's where Jesus Christ is going to come back when he lands his feet on the Mount of Olives and he's going to actually set up his kingdom. So this town, this little known town, Bethany, is actually going to be quite big when it comes to prophetic scriptures. It's a very important town. But this was the town where Jesus' friends lived, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And these were people that the Lord Jesus Christ loved. In John chapter 11, verse 5, where we see the affection that Jesus had for this family, it says there, "Now Jesus loved," that's the Greek word agape, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister," which is Mary, "and Lazarus." These were people that the Lord Jesus Christ loved. This is where they lived. And he would often visit their place in the scriptures because he found a place where he was actually invited into. Now, in John chapter 11, it's also where we get our shortest verse in the Bible, which in the English Bible, I should say, John 11:35, where it says, "Jesus wept." It's not the shortest in the Greek. That's "rejoice evermore" in Thessalonians, but it is the shortest verse in the English Bible, and we see that Jesus wept over these people. Why did he weep for such people? Because we saw that Jesus loved them, and they saw that he was weeping over Lazarus who had died, and Jesus loved these people who lived in Bethany. Do you know, I just have a wonderful thought when I'm going through trials that I know that I have a Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, who loves me. Isn't that a wonderful truth that we have a God in heaven who loves us unconditionally? Well, this is the same love that he showed to these people in the town of Bethany where Martha, Mary and Lazarus lived. So the region of his arrival, I want you to see the receiving upon his arrival. When we also look at the scriptures, we see that this town of Bethany, it seemed, was very good to the Lord, or at least they were very observant of his teaching and his ways. This is, like I said before, the place where Jesus was received into many houses. We see that he was received into the house of the sick, Simon the leper. No doubt I believe the Lord would have healed him. But he was also received into the heart of the sacrificial, where we see Mary at one stage in her life was pouring out this very expensive ointment onto the Lord Jesus Christ, where people mocked and said, "Well, what a waste." The Lord said, no, this is special to me. Wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be there as well. For all eternity, we'll be speaking about the sacrifice of Mary and her ointment on the Lord's feet. It was the house of the serving. We'll see Martha. She was a serving lady, needed to be corrected by the Lord, no doubt, but she had a heart to serve the Lord. But I believe that this town received the help of the Saviour, and that's why they were so happy to have him in their presence. That's what I gather from when I look just up the word Bethany in the Bible. So we see, firstly, the arrival of the Master. I want you to, secondly, our second point today, the attentiveness of Mary. Verse 39 says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Mary now comes into the picture of this text, and we find her sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice firstly Mary's place of rest. She was a woman who was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very significant in the scriptures because historically speaking, to sit at someone's feet was an indication that you were a disciple or wanted to be a disciple of that person. We gather that from also the life of Paul, where he gave his testimony in Acts 22, verse 3, and he says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." So we saw that the Apostle Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel and he learned the ways of the law. He was a disciple, listening, ready to hear what this man would say. It was a place of rest. You're not doing things, you're not serving when you're sitting at the feet, you're listening. Do you know it's an interesting note when you look at the life of Mary in particular? She's mentioned a few times in the Bible and she's found at the Saviour's feet quite often. She's seen three times in the gospel record, and on each occasion she is in the same place at the Saviour's feet, listening to his word in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, falling at his feet, sharing her woe in John chapter 11, verse 32, about the death of her brother Lazarus. And in John chapter 12, verse 3, she comes to his feet and pours out her expensive ointment as an act of worship. You know, Mary knew the best place to be was at the Saviour's feet. A place of rest. I want you to notice also Mary's place of readiness. She was sitting at the Saviour's feet because she wanted to receive instruction from this Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that it says there, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She heard his word, which is in the Greek, the imperfect tense, which means she kept on sitting there and she kept on hearing the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord spoke, she was ready and listening to what the Lord Jesus would have to say. She really displayed the heart of a true Bible student, a true Bible follower. She wanted to hear what her Lord said and she was ready to obey what the Lord said. This is the promise of the blessed life found in those who would seek to know the scriptures and to obey the scriptures. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But notice this, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." What's the result of this? "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There's a blessing to observing God's word day and night and being obedient to it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we are given the charge to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, notice this, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we come and we listen to the Saviour, what he has to say in his word, but we want to make sure that we rightly divide the scriptures so we know what really applies to us and how we can better glorify and honour the Saviour in our lives. We need to study. That requires discipline. That requires sitting at the Saviour's feet with a readiness to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." That's the Greek word theopneustos, which means God breathed. It's given to us by God himself. And is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What a wonderful blessing there is to be found in the word of God. It is a place of rest for believers. It is a place of readiness where we can come and actually hear the word of God and say, "Lord, what will you have me to do today?" It is a help to us when we need to make really big life decisions. And there's a rest found when we make the decisions in accordance to God's word. I challenge you today, Are you in the Word of God daily? Now, I understand that there is busyness of life where people have work. I understand that. And people have children. And that is an extremely busy part of life. And I understand that there are mothers that find it difficult to have the quiet time that they even desire to have with the Lord. But I do believe that the Lord wants us daily in His Word to find the time where we can spend time at the Saviour's feet and really display the attentiveness of Mary that we see in this text today. Listening, Lord, what will that have me to do? What do you want to teach me, Lord? A place of rest and a place of readiness. So firstly, we see the arrival of the Master. Secondly, we see the attentiveness of Mary. Thirdly, we see the activity of Martha. She was doing something that was in contrast to what Mary was doing. She was a woman who was, no doubt in the Bible, really shown to be a server. And we are not here to, you know, to rubbish her name. The Lord does correct her, but she did have a good heart of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do see that in her life. But there was some trouble that the Lord had to actually correct in her own life. Look at verse 40 there. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was cumbered about with much serving. Now, this doesn't sound like a positive thing. She is cumbered. And this is a word that really explains that she was driven about with much serving. It is in the imperfect passive tense, meaning that her service to the Lord was causing her to be driven left, right, over here, over there. A real serving heart where she had to go get the party pies and all that sort of stuff. She was a woman who wanted to serve. And she was cumbered about with much serving, driven about. This doesn't sound like the same rest that Mary was having. Not at all. I want you to notice under the activity of Martha, I want you to notice firstly, Martha's mistaken priorities. She was cumbered about with much serving. While Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, Martha was serving. Martha was more concerned with working for the Lord rather than sitting and worshipping the Lord and fellowshipping with Him. If we but learn, by way of application, if we but learn to sit at the Saviour's feet, if we but learn to sit at the Saviour's feet, then we will better serve in the Saviour's field. You know, that's a truth found in God's Word. We think, oh, well, I've got to do so much for the Lord, I'm so busy. But the Lord actually says, if you sit at my feet, you will better serve me in my field. That is something that maybe is a little bit hard to accept sometimes. How can you do more by sitting? Well, because the Lord says He wants us to have fellowship with Him first. He wants us to sit at the Saviour's feet so that we can better serve Him in His field. One commentator says this, while the Master does appreciate all that we undertake for Him, He knows that our first need is to sit at His feet and learn His will. Then in our task we shall be calm and peaceful and kindly. That's a good quote. How often are we distracted from sitting at the Saviour's feet because we think we have something more important to do? I struggle with this myself when I wake up in the morning and perhaps I've woken up a little bit later and I think, well, I have so much to do. I have so many jobs that I need to complete. And I start to read my Bible, but I'm thinking, my mind drifts off into the place, okay, I've got to do that today, I've got to do that. Oh, hang on, I forgot about that job, I need to add that into my diary. And I'm reading the Bible, but I'm actually distracted by what I have to do. And I'm distracted from something that is so vitally important in the Christian life, and that's to sit at the Saviour's feet. And I think, well, I'll do it at night time. So I put it aside to the night time, and I go off to work, and I get so tired and exhausted from work, and I say, well, I'll just read a verse. And there is no blessing or any fruit that comes from it. It's almost like, tick, I've completed my chore. There's no sweet fellowship with the Lord like I want to have, like He desires for me to have. I'm distracted. And how often do we think we are going to accomplish much, but forget there is the most important part of our service, and that is our sitting at the Saviour's feet. That's an absolute truth found in God's Word. Ian Paisley made a comment once. He said, the average church is like a canary in a cage. There is a lot of activity, but little progress. A little canary flying around in a cage, having great fun, jumping back and forward, but getting nowhere. And I find that that is us sometimes, where we forget to sit at the Saviour's feet. We're doing much for the Lord, but we're not really gaining much. We're not doing much for the Lord because he wants us to first sit at his feet. So we notice Martha's mistaken priorities. Secondly, notice Martha's major problems. As a result of being cumbered about with much serving, it produced in the life of Martha much problems. Mm. I want you to notice, firstly, that she had a rebuke for the Lord. A rebuke for the Lord. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. That's a rebuke to the Lord, saying, do you not care that my sister hath left me to leave me to serve alone? That's the problem, Martha. You were serving alone. You were serving alone. This is the problem with many of us. We serve alone because we are not first getting our priorities straight where we need to sit at the Saviour's feet. She rebuked the Lord for this. And I don't believe that God is, in our scriptures, really neglecting to accept the service of Martha. What she was doing was a wonderful thing. But she had obviously major problems in her life and she began to rebuke the Lord. You know, when we begin to serve God in our own strength, failing to get our priorities right, it will produce a life of problems to the point that we may even charge God with wrongdoing because it's a life lived in the flesh and we get agitated and anxious and we say, Lord, don't you care after all that I'm doing for you? I'm serving you. Martha did this about Mary. Don't you care that she has left me to serve alone? Now, the word hath left is in the aorist tense, which the Greek scholars say that it might have indicated that Mary was actually helping her at one stage and had left her permanently to come and sit at the Saviour's feet. So she was serving, but she had been driven away by the Lord's presence. She knew where her priorities was, Mary, but Martha remained in the kitchen and was preparing the food for the fellowship. She had a rebuke for the Lord. She had a request of the Lord. She said to the Lord, bid her therefore that she help me. Now, I do not believe that Martha came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, oh Lord, if it be according to thy will, would you please ask my sister Mary to come and help me? Put it on her heart to come and serve, if it be your will. No, she came storming in and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, commanding the Lord, bid her therefore that she come and help me. Wow, that's a very serious, terrible statement that Martha made towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The word help there, one commentator says, is the idea of, the word is taken from two pillars meeting together at the top, exactly over the center of the distance between their bases, and thus mutually supporting each other. So in other words, the word is indicating that Martha wanted Mary to come and help her and support her with the hope that it actually would produce a quicker result. It is a helping word, a laboring together word. It's used actually one other time in Romans 8 verse 26 where it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So it's a helping word. The Spirit of God helps us in our prayer because we don't even know what to pray for at times. And so the Spirit of God comes along and helps us to present our prayer before the Lord. And Martha was hoping that Mary would be able to come and help her in this task to serve the Lord together. But the Lord wanted her to first sit at his feet. So we see the arrival of the Master. We see the attentiveness of Mary. We see the activity of Martha. And I want you to see, fourthly and lastly today, the answer of the Master. The Lord Jesus Christ does not come with an absolute striking response to Martha, does not hammer her for the way in which she's actually spoken to him. No, we actually see that Martha comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and rebukes him and demands of him that she help him, that he help her, sorry. But Jesus Christ begins with guidance to Martha. He gives a guidance to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha. It's just like the Lord Jesus Christ to speak in such a kind and loving way. I don't believe he rebuked her here. He said, Martha, Martha, a kind and compassionate heart towards a woman who is struggling in her service for him. And Jesus Christ comes and he sees that we have a woman here who hasn't got everything right. And he says, Martha, Martha, I want to give you some guidance. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that we have. When we don't have everything right, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us and says to us, Ryan, right. Do you know that you're serving me? I know that. But there are some important factors that I want to share with you. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. And I would say by way of application, we need to be like the Master. When we see that perhaps there are Christians that are not all haven't got it all together, then we should treat them like the Master treated Martha. Coming to them with kind and affectionate words, not saying, oh, I can't believe these people haven't figured it out yet. How long have they been a Christian for? What, 3 minutes, 5 minutes? Surely they would have worked it out by now. But in reality, we all have that problem. We all have areas in our life that we need to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ and show the same perfect life that he's displayed. And we will until that day when he takes us home. But Jesus Christ comes to Martha, gives her the guidance, Martha, Martha, a caring, loving friend. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, after giving us our position in Christ, chapters 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul begins with chapter 4, and he's going to speak about our practice, the practical outworking of our position in Christ. He begins with this in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye accord. Notice this. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering. Notice this verse here, this phrase. Forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. That can be a hard task. We can't do it ourselves, by the way. We require the help of the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. As we see him displayed here in the scriptures, we need that same Lord Jesus to live his life through us so that when we see somebody struggling in the Christian life, we don't come there and hammer them, but we lovingly guide them or correct them in such a way. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Christian life ought to be a life of peace, lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are to endeavour to keep that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace through his help, through his aiding, as he lives through us. So his guidance to Martha was this. Martha, you are too anxious. Thou art careful. Now, this is not careful in the sense that, you know, she was very careful to make sure she gets the flowers right and all that. No, she was careful in an anxious way. Careful, she was anxious about her service to the Lord, showing that there was an inward problem in her heart. Thou art anxious. Jesus Christ also said to her, Martha, you are too agitated. You are too agitated in my service. Thou art careful and troubled, notice this, with many things. What was Mary doing? One thing. She was sitting at the Saviour's feet, but Martha was troubled about with many things. Troubled. Not only was she affected inwardly, but it showed through her outward countenance. It really showed her that there was something in her that was not right with the Lord. She was doing things in her own service. Do you know there are many Christians out there that believe because of their much serving, they are in fellowship with the Lord. They believe because of all that they're doing for the Lord, that they must be in fellowship with the Lord. They must be walking in the Spirit. Quite the contrary, sometimes. You can be doing much for the Lord, but doing it in your own strength. Not relying on the help of our Saviour, our friend, to live his life through us. And it often shows by the way in which they speak. The things that are in their heart, it shows in the way in which they speak and communicate with other people. This is found in Luke 6:45, where Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Now, understand the context. He's speaking about contrast between believers, of course, and unbelievers. You see, the believers should have a heart of goodness and showing the life of Christ lived through them. But the reality is that our heart can still have problems. It says, for of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So Martha had a problem in her heart. She was serving in her own strength. She was anxious and she was agitated, and it showed by the way in which she communicated with the Lord. She rebuked the Lord and demanded of him that he do what she's saying. Yeah. Terrible. So he gives her a guidance. He wants to guide Martha. He doesn't want to destroy her. He wants to guide her back into what is important. And he's about to show her what is important by the way in which Mary sat at Jesus' feet. I want you to notice his guarantee to Mary. So we saw his guidance to Martha. I want you to see now his guarantee to Mary. Look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Verse 42, but, contrasting, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. What a wonderful promise. It shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. Do you know that this phrase here is actually the key to this portion, verses 38 to 42? One thing is needful, and that is sitting at the Saviour's feet. Martha was occupied with many things, but Mary was occupied with one thing. She had chosen the good part. Now, it's important to note that this is not a contrasting between a good decision and a bad decision, or something that was good and something that was not good, because what they were doing, Martha serving the Lord Jesus Christ, was a good thing. But Mary had chosen the better thing. She had chosen to first sit at the Saviour's feet while Martha went off and served. She had a different priority than Mary did. Martha had a different priority than what Mary had, than to first sit at the Saviour's feet. She had chosen the good part. And the Bible says, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ may not have been there for very long as he entered into the town of Bethany. And when Jesus' presence came into that home, she thought, I'm going to go sit at his feet and listen to what he has to say. I want to sit with the Lord Jesus Christ and be a part of what he wants to teach us and teach us so that we can obey him and have the blessed life of the obedience towards the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a verse that I had here before. I missed it. I must have missed it. And it was this. In the church age, Christ has taken up his residence in our hearts, right? The Lord Jesus Christ arrived in Bethany, but for us in the church age, the Lord Jesus Christ has actually taken up his residence in our hearts. But not only does the Lord want to take up his residence, but he wants to dwell there and settle down in our hearts so that we can have beautiful fellowship with him. Ephesians 3 verse 17 was the prayer of Paul. He said this, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ wants to dwell. The word there in the Greek is to settle down, to be at home in our heart. You can be in the home, but not settle down at home in the house. And that's very important. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in all believers, but he is not at home in all believers. There's too much sin in their life. There's too much struggling with self, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants to settle down and sit so that we can sit at his feet and listen to what the Saviour has to say. Harry Ironside shares a wonderful story that really shows us the truth of this passage. Harry Ironside says this, I remember hearing of a dear father who had lost his wife. She had left him one daughter, and he loved her to have her with him. But being a busy man, they could have only their evenings together. He would come home from work, and after dinner they would spend several hours together, and one or the other would read. Then she would play and sing for him. He found his greatest solace in the company of his darling child. It was getting along towards the end of the year, and the daughter said to him one evening, "You will excuse me tonight, Father. I have something I should do in my room." The next night it was the same thing, and the next, much to his disappointment. But he had to get used to it, and he did not like to ask her what she was doing, that she had to leave him alone. Finally, it was Christmas morning, and she came into his room and called, "Merry Christmas, Dad." She handed him a pair of crocheted slippers which she had made for him. He said, after he had thanked her, "I would much rather have had you with me all these lonely evenings than to have these slippers, beautiful and comfortable as they are." And Harry Ironside goes on to say, "I think our Lord says that to us. We are trying to please him by much serving. But I am afraid he will say to many of us, 'You have spent so many hours in service when I would rather have had you at my feet. You were not there when I wanted to share my many secrets with you.' May we learn more and more the blessed of this communication with our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, he does appreciate our service for him. But the whole thing of this text is that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to first sit at his feet. By way of application, we too need to choose the good part. We must be like Mary and learn to first sit at the Saviour's feet and worship him. We must first learn to worship the Lord before we work for the Lord. For example, the Bible teaches that we must be people who are focused on the Saviour, focused on him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Do you know, as we open up the Word of God and sit at his feet, we examine the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see how he responded to people. We see how he served the Heavenly Father. And just by examining it and submitting to it, the Spirit of God changes us into the life of Jesus Christ. He conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ just by even beholding him. That's amazing. Just by reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, sure, it doesn't end there. But just by reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, we are changed into his image. We are changed to be more like him. We must be focused on the Savior. Do you know that many people actually attack this way of life? In the sense that people, even Christians, will say to you, "All you do is sit at the Savior's feet," when in reality, that's not the truth. If you're a person who sits at the Savior's feet, the service will be a natural outflowing of that. You will not but help to go out and serve in the Savior's field. But they see you. "You can't read your Bible all day." No, I'm not going to read my Bible all day. There's much to do for the Lord, but I'm going to first sit at the Savior's feet. And they attack you like you are somehow sitting and doing nothing all day. While I'm out there winning souls, you're there sitting at the feet of Jesus, and I'm serving and you're just sitting. Well, you keep doing that. I've actually had somebody say that to me where we were going through all this situation with the protesting down in Sydney's and all these different things, and he's a good friend of mine, so I do put that out there, but I'm still going to use the illustration. He said to me, "I'm doing so much. I'm writing here, I'm writing to this politician, I'm doing this and I'm doing all that." I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. That's great, yeah, that's good." He said, "What are you doing for the Lord?" I said, "Well, I'm on my knees praying." "Well, you keep on praying," he said to me, "while I keep on doing service." I said, "Whoa. Like praying is not important? I can do more on my knees praying than people can do on their feet while they're protesting. I can pray. I'm in a spiritual warfare that I can pray to the God of heaven who has already got the victory, rather than protesting with people who are fighting in a different war, by the way. They're fighting for their freedoms they claim, but really they're fighting to get their bondage back because they don't have the true liberty found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I get what they're doing. I get it. But we do much more on our knees praying to the Lord than these people do on their feet protesting. Truly we do. So we must be people who are focused on the Savior. We must be people who are feeding on the Scriptures. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are feeding on the scriptures as we sit at the Savior's feet. We are feeding on them that they may dwell in us, not just settle down in our heart, what the other word in the Greek was, but this is the word where it dwells in us, where it has absolute free course in our life, where it can control us so that we can show the life of Christ and we can find the blessing of feeding in God's word to help us make with our decisions of life and to show our behavior as we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's what we're here for, to glorify God. And as we feed on the scriptures, the word of Christ will dwell in our hearts and we will not but help to show the life of Christ. We must be people who are filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This is the key to our ministry, that we have a life that is sweet with the Lord, but that the Spirit of God has absolute liberty to live in our life and to live through our life the life of Christ. So we must die to ourself. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Filled with the Spirit, filled with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we first sit at the Savior's feet, we go into the Savior's field and we are much more effective for the Lord Jesus Christ, much more effective for him. By the way, so he can be glorified, not us. He did it through us. We don't get all the service reward. Sure, the Lord's going to reward us, but the Lord is going to show, did you do it in your own strength or did you do it through my Spirit? And the Lord will reward you accordingly so that he may get the glory. In conclusion to this message, J.C. Ryle said this: "There was a deep meaning in these words. They were spoken not only for Mary's sake, but for the sake of all Christ-believing people in every part of the world. They were meant to encourage all true Christians to be single-eyed and wholehearted, to follow the Lord fully and to walk closely with God, to make soul business immeasurably their first business and to think comparatively little of the things of this world." That's a wonderful quote. I conclude with my thoughts on this passage. Martha welcomed him into her home, but Mary welcomed him into her heart. Martha served with major problems, but Mary sat with much peace. Martha was restless, but Mary was at rest. Martha was coming apart, but Mary chose the good part. Martha was cumbered with serving, but Mary was content with the Saviour. Martha was demanding of the Lord. Mary was devoted to the Lord. Martha was working. Mary was worshipping. Martha was given guidance of correction, but Mary was given a guarantee of consolation, which shall not be taken away from her. What a blessing to have first sit at the Saviour's feet as we go and serve him in his field. Which will you choose? We need to get our priorities right and sit at the Saviour's feet and be used in a great way for his service. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray that, Lord, we would be encouraged to better sit at the Saviour's feet morning and evening, Lord, as we look into the wonders of the deep things of God found in his word. May it be sweet to our heart. May we sit at his feet that we may better serve you in your field. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.